Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the power of the cross, that message Christ crucified, may that message be life-changing this day. That the fullness of grace pour out into this place and bring about that redeeming mercy so that another believes Jesus is the Christ, so that redemption comes and they are saved. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Then verse 23, "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles." I ask you, is believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is that being foolish? Is that foolishness? Is looking to Christ crucified utter nonsense? Or is receiving the message of the cross, hearing the preaching, Christ crucified, is exactly what you need this day to take hold of and walk with for the rest of your earthly life, a life that will then go into eternity. I tell you, what passes for wisdom in this day and age may not be wise. What philosophers and scholars and other academicians, I want to get that word pronounced properly sometime, right? Those in the academic life, ivory towers, what they say, I tell you, even with all those degrees hanging on their office walls, what they're saying is utter nonsense, oftentimes when it concerns the Christian faith in Christ. Look to the fishermen, Peter and John. I read from Scripture, Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 8. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all of the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved.' When they," that's the Sanhedrin, "saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. The learned, the scholars, the Sanhedrin thought themselves to be wise. But when it came to the message of Jesus Christ, these two unschooled, unlearned fishermen were wisest of all. Salvation is found in no one else than Jesus Christ." What about you? How do you hear the reality of Christ crucified? Do you believe, or do you brush it aside? In the news these past few days, the Attorney General of the United States has said, "I feel today religion is being driven out of the marketplace of ideas. And there's an organized militant secular effort to drive religion out of our lives." Attorney General Barr also went on to say, "To me, the problem today is not that religious people are trying to impose their views on non-religious peoples. It's the opposite. It's that the militant secularists are trying to impose their values on religious people. And they're not accommodating the freedom of religion of people of faith." Let's consider some examples. The company, Chick-fil-A, They plan to open a new location. And how many people rise up in protest? Chick-fil-A banned from 2 airports. Chick-fil-A regularly being banned from college campuses. Why? Protesters against the company because of the company's traditional Christian values. In this past week, Swiss Air has dropped the premium chocolate maker, Lauterach, after a 10-year relationship with the chocolate maker. Why? Protesters against Johannes Lauterach, an evangelical Christian, and his company CEO. He holds to traditional Christian values. I don't know if I'm going to pronounce his name appropriately, but this is an event that's taken place in the life of a man named Chaik Udzubugnun, spelled Udzubugnum. You give that last name a try. Udzubugnum is the closest I'll get. He was simply sharing his Christian faith, handing out pamphlets on the College of Georgia Gwinnett College in Lawrenceville, Georgia. College officials told him to stop. He had to do this handing out and talking in the free speech zone. Now, a couple facts about these free speech zones. They're microscopically small, rarely open, and even when signing up and using the zone, Chaik's words were, discussing the basic tenets of the Christian faith, the college officials said they rose to the level of misconduct, disorderly conduct. He's sharing the basic tenets of the Christian faith, disorderly conduct. And then when Chaik sued, the college responded back that his words, teaching and sharing the tenets of the Christian faith, they rose to the level of fighting words so as not to have First Amendment protection. Chaik is waiting to see if the United States Supreme Court will take up his case. That's this week. Will they take up his case? What about the high school French teacher, Peter Vleming, West Point High School in Virginia? He was facing a pronoun problem in his French class. He did everything he could to accommodate without losing his integrity as a teacher who considers pronouns mean something and the Christian faith his conscience is captive to. Peter kept the administration up to date on how he is handling the situation in the classroom. After explaining his religious beliefs, the assistant principal told Peter that his personal religious beliefs end at the school door. Now, the compromise was working in that French classroom until one day when the class was wearing virtual reality headsets. And this particular student was heading towards a wall and about to collide into the wall. And what would any normal person do? Yell out, stop, keep that person from doing that. Well, he blurted out, don't let her hit the wall. Peter reported the incident to the administration. By the end of the day, Peter was on administrative leave. Along came an ultimatum, use male pronouns for this person or lose your job. Later, the school board voted unanimously to fire Peter. The Alliance Defending Freedom's taken up this case also. And are you aware of what's happening just recently in China? China is now forbidding Christian funerals. All across China, Christian funerals are banned. This is under a newly released rules. Christian clergy are not allowed to participate in funerals. Also, no more than 10 family members of the deceased may read scriptures and sing hymns in low voices. Now, the stated purpose of this new rules are to get rid of bad funeral customs and establish scientific, civilized, and economical way of funerals. This is what a villager from Gunjin town said. When my father died, village officials threatened to arrest us if we didn't conduct a secular funeral. We did not dare go against them. And this villager then went on to say, my father has been a believer for several decades. He is persecuted even after death. What? What is so scary about the Christian faith? that one cannot share the basic tenets of the Christian faith on college campuses? And why is a culture afraid of Christian funerals? Why is the government structure in China afraid of Christian scripture being read by a clergy and a clergy presiding over a Christian funeral? What is it of Nazareth that brings about these feelings? Could it be that Jesus is exactly as he said he is? The Son of the living God. The cross. Why be afraid of crosses on buildings? Why be afraid of a cross along the highway on a public display where anybody can see it? Why be afraid of the Ten Commandments being posted or praying in Jesus' name, yet there's litigation in these states going on and on about all those things? And why remove the Bible from a POW MIA display, especially when many servicemen tell account after account how the words of Scripture sustained them while in captivity? Why? Could it be that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12 told us exactly this would happen. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before me. Another time Jesus said, it's recorded in the Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. It's not easy being a Christian and walking in the faith, but yet it is the message of the cross that changes you and I forever. The message of the cross, that redeeming grace that is yours freely by the living God, changes. And it's a change that the world and the ways of the world just does not like. But you and I know it is good. The message of the cross, simply put, is the Father in heaven gave us his Son to pay the redeeming price for sin. That cross where Christ died on is a place of compassion, a place of mercy. It is the place of grace for you. Yet at the same time, that cross standing on the hill stands out in a clear silhouette shouting, sinner, see that your sins truly are real. Sinner, see on that silhouette of the cross standing on the hill, the price of sin is the death of the Son of the living God. Do you see the cost of rebellion and sin? It cost the Son of the living God his own life, so that God could show us mercy, compassion, and grace. The cost was the beloved Son of the Father. Will you see? Will you believe? The Roman Road. You can find these verses in the book of Romans, also written by Paul, but it's the Word of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. That's the problem. We are sinners. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. And hear now the promise. Continuing on, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 5, verse 8.
Or that could be 8 verse 5. It should be flipped. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The cross and Christ crucified, life-changing forever. You know, today's Super Bowl Sunday. It's Groundhog's Day, too. And this day could be the day your life is forever changed. Whether we have 6 more weeks of winter, whether or not, spring is just around the corner, whether Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow or not. The Kansas City Chiefs or the San Francisco 49ers will win a Super Bowl this evening, yet those trophies cannot stop the flow of time. Accolades of fans and records in the books cannot keep one alive forever, nor prevent heartache, pain, and tragedy, as the news last Sunday afternoon showed us about Kobe Bryant and his daughter, a husband and wife and their daughter, a mother and her daughter, another coach, and a helicopter pilot. Families are deeply hurting, crying out, why? How can we make it to the next day? The answer is the cross and Christ crucified. You may have seen in the news Kobe and his daughter Gianna, they attended Mass last Sunday morning, both receiving communion. Christian faith will sustain Kobe's wife and the 3 daughters, as the Christian faith has sustained others around the world through all kinds of trials of every kind, intensity of pain every day. And this sustaining faith can be yours too. The world calls it foolishness, and the cross is a stumbling block. But to you, you who believe, it is the power of God to save. It is the power of God unto salvation, which gives eternal life. It is the power of God that gives you hope and peace and even joy in the midst of trying life circumstances. Why does the world hate the cross? Why does the world say it's foolishness? Because the world's in rebellion and lost in sin. But you who believe, who see the cross and know that is Christ on that cross in that silhouette on the hill, paying the full price of your sin, it's freeing. Because the redeeming price has been paid on that cross. And you are forgiven. Completely forgiven. There's no more price for your sin. Christ paid it all. By grace. It is yours. By grace. So the cross and Christ crucified is the power of God for those who are saved. It is yours. Unto life everlasting. Amen and amen.